south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Let's talk about the gringo advantage just for a minute here. You longtime listeners have heard me talk about how you don't even realize you have the gringo advantage till you're down here maybe a couple of months. And suddenly, it sinks in that you're treated quite a bit differently than the rest of the sweaty masses. And then, as time wears on, and as human nature prevails, you get so used to it, you don't even see it anymore. That is, unless you go back to the States and you realize you haven't got much of an advantage at all. Suddenly, those extra 2 points that were miraculously added to your 10 scale, when in Latin America, get stripped away and you're back to being one of the sweaty masses yourself. Though, the caveat here is if you're living on or near the gringo tourist trail, let's say Cancun, Costa Rica, and any Latin American town where cruise ships stop, then your gringo advantage is weakened considerably. As for me, I've been down here so long, I don't even think about the gringo advantage, though I've got it happening for me all the time. The reason why I'm bringing it up again today is because yesterday I was at Price Mart, which is Costco down here. And on the way out, you know, there's a store monitor as you leave the place. He checks your receipt against the stuff you got in your cart. Now, I don't know if they've got an honesty monitor like that at Costco up in the States, checking your receipts up there as you leave. I don't know. One of you gringos up there will have to fill me in on that, because I haven't been back to the States since 1999. That's right. I haven't been back since 1999. And then, only for 2 weeks. And I don't want to go back either, not even for a week-long visit. It's definitely not anywhere near the place I grew up in. It's like a different planet. And I don't want to go into a depressive funk, if you know what I mean. How you guys and gals manage to plod along living up there, I can't imagine, but I guess it's like the Chinese water torture, one drip at a time, right? You adjust to that and you tolerate it. You just didn't wake up one day and notice the whole place was in the shitter. It happened over a 30-year period, one used piece of toilet paper at a time. I've been watching it happen to you guys from a nice, safe distance, I might add. But I digress. Anyway, yesterday I was at the checkout line in Latin American version of Costco, that'd be Price Mart. I pulled into the check your receipt versus your purchases line, you know, where they check your honesty by sort of visually frisking you. I was number 5 or 6 in line, pushing my cart, which was pretty full. And when I got to the honesty checker lady, I gave her my receipt. She looked at me, not the stuff in my cart. She ticked off the receipt with her magic marker, smiled, and said, "Buen día, good day," with a big smile on her face. But picture this, everyone else in that line was a Latino or Latina. They all had pretty full carts too, and guess what? That checker lady gave a really good once-over to everyone but me. While I was in line, I saw her dig through a couple of those carts and move things around, checking every little nook and cranny. But not the gringo. By the way, I was the only gringo in the store, and I really like it that way. Funny thing too, whenever I'm at Costco, Price Mart that is, when I'm in that final honesty checkout line, when it happens to be a guy, a man, yeah, that's right, down here they actually have men and women. Yep, that's what they call themselves, men and women. Now, of course, down here they have the occasional gay and lesbian person too, who also identify as a man or a woman. How strange, how old-fashioned is that? Must be that lag time thing, huh? Maybe I'll start calling it the lag time advantage. What do you think? What's not to like about that? Fact is, I've never met a single person here in Latin America in all my 30-plus years who identified as somewhere in between. But that's another story. Anyway, when it's a guy checking receipts in the honesty checkout line, I noticed he does spend a few more seconds looking in my cart than a female checker would. But he never rifles through the stuff. He doesn't even touch it or move things around to check what's underneath, like he does with non-gringos. As a rule, I've noticed guy receipt checkers will rifle through a person's cart a lot more thoroughly than a female checker. Don't know why, but it's pretty obvious. So anyway, the moral of this story is, if you don't believe in the gringo advantage, just go to Price Mart sometime, do some shopping. By the way, just the other day, I was talking to an expat gringo about this very subject, the gringo advantage. Now, this guy had been down to Latin America a couple of times before, but he'd never been off the gringo tourist trail. So until now, anyway, he'd never really experienced the full effect of the gringo advantage. The effects of which, by the way, are super strong when you're dealing with government officials, cops, officials of any kind, and, of course, in the mating and dating game. And let's not discriminate here. The gringo advantage is just as strong for gringas and gringos. Anyway, just yesterday, when speaking about the gringo advantage with this newbie off the gringo tourist trail, gringo visitor, he asked me a strange question. He said, "What, in your experience, is the most extreme example of the gringo advantage you've ever seen?" Well, I didn't have to think very long to give him an answer. I said the most extreme example didn't happen to me. It happened to one of my friends. He's sort of a backpacking type gringo who's been living in Guatemala for about 25 years now. He teaches at one of the big helicopter schools. That's how he makes his dough. Anyway, this guy likes his marijuana. And he doesn't have a particular go-to guy when he runs out. Instead, he runs up to Lake Atitlan, which is the most beautiful lake in the world. You've heard me talk about that. They've got a lot of little towns around the lake where many gentrified hippies are living. Guys that came over in the 60s and 70s, evading the Vietnam War and such, and never left. Anyway, he told me he likes to go up there once a year during Easter vacation and pick up a pound of weed, for which he told me he pays something like a little over $100. And that, he said, lasts him for the whole year. Anyway, he said he'd been doing that for some years, and then a year or so before the COVIDiot thing, he made the trip up to the lake, picked up his pound of weed, and stuck it in his backpack. And since he's a teacher, very tight with his dough, too. He always looks for the cheapest way to get from point A to point B. He had a car back then, but it wasn't the type that might make that trip. It's about 4 hours from where he lived in Guatemala City. And he was driving a shitbox, a 20-year-old junker. So he went up to the lake the usual way, by chicken bus. Now, you've heard me say that I don't recommend chicken buses as transportation for gringos and expats. But backpackers, just passing through, use them all the time because they're dirt cheap. You get what you pay for, so they're quite uncomfortable, but backpackers are used to that. Anyway, after he'd picked up that pound of pot, had it stuffed in his backpack, they were rambling down the road, heading back to Guatemala City. And wouldn't you know it, there was a roadblock, a routine cop stop. This time, they weren't pulling over cars or trucks, they were pulling over chicken buses. However, this time, the cops weren't just checking the driver's license, papers, and chicken bus registration. They were shaking down the passengers for contraband, because you see, they were on the Pan-American Highway. That, as you probably know, goes all the way from Alaska to Panama, passing through many major cities in Mexico, including Mexico City, and almost all the major cities in Central America. Of course, that means a huge portion of the contraband that slips in through various country borders is smuggled through on that road. When talking about contraband, I don't mean necessarily illegal stuff. I'm talking about stuff that's just snuck across borders to avoid taxes, like cigarettes, alcohol, diesel, gasoline, electronics, car parts. So periodically, there will be roadblocks on the Pan-American Highway for vehicles passing south, because almost all the contraband in Central America comes from the U.S. and Mexico. It's going south. So anyway, my buddy with that pound of pot in his backpack was caught in the middle of a shakedown. Everyone was told to get off the bus, lay all their belongings on the ground, and open them up for inspection. By then, naturally, my buddy with that brick of weed was shitting bricks too. The thing is, you know, down here in Latin America, marijuana is technically illegal. Back then, anyway, now they're loosening the laws, but back then, it was technically illegal. Though, this is Latin America, so if you've got just a little bit of it on you, and I've heard many cases where a guy's been caught with an ounce or two, the cops will just take it or let you keep it if you pay a little bribe. That happened to the drummer in one of my bands. You heard me tell that story before. He got in a car accident, hit a kid on a bike. They took his car down to the police station, found some weed in his glove box. No, they didn't plant it there. I've never heard of a case where that's happened, but you hear rumors, right? By the way, the only place I've ever heard that really happening to a gringo or expat is in Mexico. Surprise, surprise. So anyway, he was in the police station looking at his ounce of weed on the countertop right in front of all those cops, thinking his goose was cooked. Well, he did what every gringo absolutely must do. He called up his lawyer. His lawyer came down. They negotiated a bit, which means they worked out the final price of the bribe. And my drummer buddy, who was, by the way, a German national, walked out with his lawyer, his car keys, and his weed. Now, I don't know if you'd actually want to call that a case of the gringo advantage or not. It was more about having a lawyer than anything. Anyway, as it turns out, my gringo buddy with the brick of weed, like I said, he was a teacher, a skinflint, so he did not have a lawyer. So anyway, he figured he was going down, having flashbacks of that movie, The Midnight Express. You remember that one? Anyway, being that he was one of the last ones off the bus, as he stepped off, he saw everyone else unpacking their stuff on the ground. But just as the cop right in front of him was giving orders to everyone to unpack everything, the cop looked him over and said, Not you. You can stand over there. Yep, that's right. My buddy, the only gringo on the bus, was the only person out of, he said, around 40 people who was told he needed no inspection. By the way, he said the cops confiscated some liquor from two or three guys and hauled off another guy to who knows where. Oh, and my buddy said that was the very last time he ever bought weed again. But he wasn't going to give it up, so he bought some land in a gated, guarded community out in the boonies, built himself a little house, and now he grows his own and lives happily ever after. All right, let's dig into the email file. This one's from Jeff. He says, "Hey, Johnny, you continually talk about wokesters and being woke, but I can't find a clear definition on the web, and people I talk to don't exactly know what woke means either. Maybe we're all woke. The word woke, as in being woke up, would seem to be a good thing, though it sounds like it's not. Is it like the word bad, which is really good, or cool, which is really uncool? Can you please share a definition? Thanks for everything. Signed, Jeff." Well, thanks for that, Jeff. Will do. Thing is, Jeff, if you go to conventional woke sources like Wikipedia and look up woke, you're not going to get the correct answer. By the way, I hope all you guys and gals out there know that Wikipedia is run by bought and sold wokesters. Because, you know, they claim you can go in and edit any article they have, but you can't. They've got a staff full of socialist snowflake wokesters that will edit or eliminate anything you try to correct in Wikipedia, even though they say you're able to do that, if it doesn't match with their sentiments, their idea of the truth. For example, look up anything about the COVIDiot vax. Any other narrative besides the Dr. Fauci narrative, to them, is called a debunked conspiracy theory. Even a supreme expert like Dr. Robert Malone, the inventor of 9 original mRNA vaccine patents, a guy with close to 100 peer-reviewed scientific publications, which have been cited over 12,000 times by other doctors in other papers, because he says the Dr. Fauci narrative is all wrong, woke Wikipedia calls him a debunked conspiracy theorist. Did you know that one of the biggest financial contributors to Wikipedia is Big Pharma? No conflict of interest there, huh? Case closed. As far as the real definition of woke, well, it ain't simple. Let's see if I can do this without rambling. Well, let's just say woke people endorse safe spaces for sensitive snowflakes. They'll cancel or attack you if you don't use their ever-shifting pronouns or perceived genders. They believe that children and underage adolescents have the right to decide their place on the non-binary gender scale. Woke people will demand that you be censored from social media or even get fired from your job if they don't like your opinion or it doesn't coincide with theirs. Wokesters believe all people should be vaxxed, and if one doesn't agree, should be fired, isolated, or placed in quarantine camps. Woke people say certain groups like BLM have the right, because of their skin color, to riot and loot neighborhoods and create chaos just to make a social justice point. For example, if you say in public that George Floyd is not an icon, he's not a hero, and doesn't belong on the $100 bill, look out, the social media scorn will be fast and furious. You'll probably have to move away or get bodyguards. Wokesters believe white people are born racist and are the scourge of the planet, and that they are ultimately responsible for all the social and environmental wrongdoings in the universe. Wokesters are convinced that science and math are some kind of white man construct, and that conservative organizations are filled with Nazis. However, when reality and logic collide, they often turn on themselves and eat their own, especially when one or more of them happens to question the madness of groupthink. And you know, sitting here in Latin America and watching the U.S. implode with wokester madness, I kind of feel sorry for all you woke guys out there. That is, you woke males, who at this moment, while listening to this, are identifying as male. So at least for the moment, you're male, right? I'm truly sorry you drank too much Kool-Aid and that your balls have shrunk down to little peanuts. And as for all you woke ladies out there, that is, you ladies who, while listening to this, are identifying as female, at least for the moment. And all the rest of you who are on that sliding scale, I'm sorry you've never taken a real science class, being that it's an evil white man construct. That means you never actually considered there are petroleum-based dyes in your green and blue hair. Yep, that evil fossil fuel petroleum. It's in your makeup, tattoo ink, and nail polish, too. Oh, and what do you think they use to heat up, melt, and process your face piercings? So, if you've never taken a science class because it's an evil white man's construct, That means you've never considered how all those petroleum-based fossil fuel byproducts floating around in your system are reacting with your triple vax jabs, which are also made from fossil fuel-derived petroleum products. Just saying. I know it's a little too late to say this, but you wokesters out there should have skipped the gender studies classes and taken Biology 101. But you didn't, and you never will. I'm afraid the chickens, the organic soy-fed chickens, are coming home to roost. All right, now an email from Rod. He says, "Hey, Johnny, as the unpredictability of life would have it, I'm currently living in China. And no, it isn't as bad as the news paints it to be. I actually feel freer than in Canada. I'm still functioning here without a vaccine and nobody bothers me. But I digress. Boy, do I digress. Anyway, in your last two podcasts, you've spoken about gringo complainers and gringo know-it-alls. You spoke about them in two different podcasts, but I think they're two sides of the same coin. Anyway, here in China, me and mine have basically had to stop hanging out with people from North America and the UK for the same reason. They're chronic complainers. The question is, why are they here if everything's so bad? I have gently confronted a couple of them, and I have told them that maybe they should move back to North America. Then, of course, they'd back off. The truth is, Johnny, there is no stronger vote than voting with your feet. If you leave one place voluntarily and settle somewhere else and stay there in a prolonged manner, it has to be because you're in a better place. Maybe everything isn't better, but on aggregate, it has to be better. Otherwise, there'd be no point to it. Those same idiots complain that in China there is no regulation, there's no labor laws, there's no free health care for the poor, and so on and so forth. But they fail to realize that the reason their salaries are so good in China, I'm talking about people like me, and the economy is so good compared to North America, it's because of those capitalist, heartless characteristics they complain about. The question is, would you want to stay in Latin America if those kinds of people, the complainers, were in charge? I suspect not. Anyway, Johnny, I just have to say your show is incredibly informative, even for me here in China, and entertaining too. Signed, Rod. Well, thanks for that, Rod, and the kudos too. I do have a question for you, though. What's the state of the gringo advantage in China? Besides that very low cost of living and the big salary, is there a Chinese version of the gringo advantage? Does it exist? Is it noticeable or not? Let me know. And here's an email from Paul. He says, "Hello, Johnny. I happily found your podcast and appreciate how you list all the subjects of the audio in the notes and how the podcast episode is brief enough to enjoy. Just a question, though. Are you related to Casey Kasem? His voice is, or was, uniquely similar to yours. I'll bet no one ever mentioned this to you. So you're welcome in case you want to thank me." He signs off, "Thanks for your service. Signed, Paul." Of course, you mean podcast service, not military service, right? Anyway, Paul, you might be surprised to hear I get that Casey Kasem thing all the time. Of course, I remember in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, he was everywhere. He had a syndicated AM radio show all about the hits of the week. I heard he had a spot on TV too, but I never saw it. He was just a voice to me, but I do remember seeing him interviewed on, I think it was Don Kirshner's Midnight Special rock concert. Remember those? Casey Kasem. If I recall, he had a little cubby bear face and was well over 4 feet tall. And his wife, a blonde bombshell beauty pageant winner, she absolutely towered over him. I think she was around 6 foot tall. That's what I remember, her, not him. I remember thinking, how'd that happen? Only in Hollywood, man, the perks of fame, huh? Which brings us back to that gringo advantage thing. Down here in Latin America, to get that extra couple of points added onto your score, you don't have to be famous. You just have to be a gringo or a gringa. Oh, and you get automatic extra points when you're off the gringo tourist trail, too. I just remembered something else that happens down here in Latin America that just doesn't happen up in the States. Not anymore, anyway. I was sitting in a little outdoor cafe restaurant with two gringo buddies of mine. Both of them long-term expats. They've been in Latin America at least 10 years. One of them you heard me talk about. Bob, the ex-corrupt Boston cop. And my other gringo friend, Mike, the ex-FBI agent. Wait till I tell you his story. I'll get to that someday. You know, he got the hell out of Dodge a long time ago when he retired and got that big pension. He says, "I'm not going to spend one more minute of my time in a country that's going down the toilet." Anyway, we're sitting there and Mike looks at his watch and he says, "I got to go now and pick up the girlfriend." I said, "What's up?" He says, "We're going for a ride." I said, "You mean like in a car? Like joyriding? Just for the hell of it?" And then he blurted out exactly what I was thinking. He said, I know, that's a lost art. They don't do it anymore up in the States." You know, I remember. Most every weekend when I was a kid, usually on Sunday, we'd go for a joyride, the whole family. Then when I hit 16, got my driver's license and my first car, that's what you do. You take your girlfriend out for a ride on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon. Then on Friday night, she'd go out with the guys to scoop the loop. You know, the loop in Chicago. What I'm getting at is here in Latin America, people still go for rides. Why not? For one thing, there's so much to explore here in Latin America. The scenery is so beautiful. Volcanoes, rivers, mountains, waterfalls, jungles. And once you get out in the boonies a half hour outside any big city, it's like going back in time 30 years. You see crops and farmers and little kids playing, food stalls, guys on horses. The point is, I'm talking to all you guys and gals up in the States and Canada. When's the last time you just said, let's take a ride for the hell of it? Man, 30 plus years ago before I ever came down to Latin America, that was a way of life. Normal thing to do on weekends, on Sunday afternoon. Go for a ride, get an ice cream cone, or just head out to the boonies, to a corn stand, get some corn on the cob. Well, guess what? Here in Latin America, there's still lots of that action. Of course, you have to have a car to do that, though down here you don't need a decent one. I see people with real junkers just grooving on a Sunday afternoon. It's a great way to learn the local geography and points of interest. Just go for Sunday rides. You won't be disappointed. And oh, if you think it's dangerous, well, I do it all the time, and I've been doing it for 30 years now. Though there are a few places where I would skip it, like in most of Mexico, and of course in those big city barrios and neighborhoods that look really scruffy. But that's not where you want to take a leisurely drive anyway. It's all about getting out in the wide open spaces. So by all means, it's something to put on your to-do list once you get down here. Oh, but sometimes you'll hear gringos and expats say, well, I'd never do that in a country like, let's say, El Salvador. It's too dangerous. Of course, people who say that have never been there. In fact, one of the most beautiful drives you could ever take in all of Latin America starts at the border of Guatemala on into El Salvador. Ruta de Flores, the flower route. It's about a 1 to 2 hour drive through the mountains in coffee and flower country. It's a fantastic experience and as safe as can be. Yep, in that terribly dangerous country of El Salvador. All right, now let's take an email from one of our many Daves. It's from Dave D. He says, Johnny, here's a little rant you can either skip or read. I haven't voted in a decade, not because I don't follow politics, but rather because I follow it very closely. This election season, however, I've been salivating at the idea of voting against the brain-dead government of Wisconsin. If only as the biggest symbolic middle finger the average peon citizen can make to our politically connected betters. He says, I don't even care who the opponent is. He'll get my vote. He could be a chimpanzee or a coat rack with a suit, and he would have my vote. Hell, that would be an improvement. Here's my big grab. You see, this election season, I'm what the pollsters call a single-issue voter. I know it's ancient history at this point, but I remember way back in March of 2020, this governor, our governor of Wisconsin, during the COVID pandemic, imposed a stay-at-home order that not only did nothing to flatten the curve, remember that phrase, or control hospital ICU capacity, which, by the way, prevented me from visiting my own grandmother in hospice before she passed away. Neither she nor I had COVID. And even if we did, who cares? She's on her deathbed and I was 34 and healthy. I'd have given anything to be able to sit with my grandma in her last days, but that choice was taken away through malevolence, idiocy, or both by our genius governor's authoritarian edict. And now, with all that dirty water under the bridge, I'll vote for anyone but the incumbent, because my Northern Irish Catholic ancestry have a rather different idea of acceptable political discourse. Yeah, I know they use bombs and Molotov cocktails. He says, Johnny, I was joking a bit with that part. Then he signs out, all the best, Johnny. Keep up the good work. Signed, Dave D. Well, Dave, I'm 100% with you. That reminds me of a little story. One of my best friends in life, his name was Gary Gibson. Such a real common name. I can't find him anymore. He's one of the smartest engineers I ever knew. He's the guy I think I told you in a past show. He graduated in electrical engineering, University of Wisconsin. Didn't feel like going to work right away. So he signed up for an engineering teaching position in Guadalajara, Mexico. And he knew no Spanish, zero. He got accepted because his grades were so high and was able to learn Spanish so fluently in just 3 months, all by himself, way back when there was no internet, that he was able to teach engineering in Spanish at a master's degree level in Guadalajara, Mexico. Oh, by the way, also, he had a Honda 650 motorcycle. I used to keep it in my garage. He didn't much like the suspension system, though. So, in his spare time, he designed an all-new suspension system, sent the diagrams to Honda, and they bought the patent. Honda's used it on every bike since. All that at the ripe old age of 23. Anyway, we were best of friends, and he actually worked under me in my first engineering job. I was the project engineer, and I had a couple of design engineers under me, and he was one of them, which sort of made me feel funny because he was a lot smarter and a better engineer than I was. Anyway, back in the 70s, we used to talk a lot about how corrupt the American political system was. And you know, back then and even now, there are signs up everywhere saying, vote, V-O-T-E, just vote. That's when I, or it could have been him, came up with the slogan V-O-T-I, VOTI, not V-O-T-E, V-O-T-I. And it stood for vote out the incumbent. Anyway, one day my buddy Gary had a bunch of t-shirts printed with that slogan. On the front, it said in big letters V-O-T-I, and the back, it explained it. It said vote out the incumbent. We'd wear them to work and gave them out to people like the secretaries, techs, etc. Hey, it was a free t-shirt. Why not wear it, right? Anyway, lots of times people would say, what do you mean by that? Vote out the incumbent. Here's what we'd say, exactly what Dave was saying in his email, only slightly different. I'd explain it like this. You go into the voting booth. If you recognize anyone on the ballot at all, by name or by photo, you don't vote for them. In other words, you're not interested in parties, platforms, looks, anything. All you're interested in is kicking out all the people who've turned the entire electoral process into a cesspool of corruption. In other words, only vote for 100% unknowns. You want all fresh new blood in the system. Because anyone who's got name recognition has been in the system for a length of time and is therefore part of the problem, part of the rot. So anyway, that was kind of the ideological stance us engineering types took way back when in the 70s when we already knew politics and voting in general were hopelessly corrupt. Then, as years passed and the whole system got even more putrid, most of us engineers, at least the ones I knew, quit voting entirely. And if you brought it up in mixed company, people will say, well, then you've got no right to complain. My response to that has always been, just by the act of voting, you're making a statement that says, I believe the system works. And it doesn't. We know. They don't want the best, the brightest, and the most honest. They want good old boys, yes men in there, who will help the party stay in power. So if I voted for anyone, even if I liked the guy, I'd be telling the world and myself that I believe the system actually works. Deep down, everyone who's got more than a room temperature IQ, they know damn well it's big banks, big pharma, big tech, and big military contractors with their thousands of lobbyists crawling in all the nooks and crannies of Washington, D.C. that are actually pulling the strings. Their goal is to keep us in a perpetual state of high anxiety, high taxes, shrinking personal income and purchasing power, and perpetual war. So in the end, when I was young, when I realized voting out the incumbent didn't work either, I decided the only way to vote was with my feet. Best thing I ever did. By the way, how's your plan B coming?
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.